Hey, this is Jamie from Stillmire Games, and today I'm coming to you live from St. Louis at 10 a.m. as usual every Wednesday. Today is a little different, I don't know if you can tell, but I have a new camera. I decided to upgrade my camera after I got some good feedback about autofocus issues and various issues that my current camera was having. I had a decent camera, but this is just a nice webcam, basically. It has a slightly wider field of vision, as you can see. I think it's a clearer picture. And hopefully the autofocus is better than the previous camera. There's one little issue that I've run into where if I have the light in this room on full, it's an adjustable light, then there's this weird flickering in the background of the camera. But if I turn the light down a little bit, then the flickering goes away. So I don't know if you've experienced that with webcams or if you have a solution for that. I have on my normal camera app, my filming app, I can reduce that flicker a little bit. But hopefully it isn't a problem on today's live stream video. But let me know if it is, and let me know if this camera is noticeably better than the previous camera. Tony says that it's definitely a clearer picture, so that's good. Yeah, this is a 4K camera. I don't know if this actually broadcasts in 4K, and I don't think it'll make a difference when I upload this video to YouTube because it'll download at the same low quality. But we'll see. Maybe that'll be better too. I'm also going to try it today for a live play of Rolling Realms in the Rolling Realms Facebook group. So feel free to join along and see if autofocus is less disorienting than if you have a clear picture of what I'm working on the table. Hopefully that works out. I'm a little worried about, like, the camera doesn't tilt as far as the previous camera, and so I'm a little worried about if I can actually capture what I'm doing on the table as well as I did before. But we'll see if that works out. Let's see. David says you're gonna be more careful with what you leave around since we can see more of the room. David, you're absolutely right. I actually did think about that. You can see Biddy over there in the corner, and you can see part of my game shelf over here. And on top of the game shelf, just like a foot this way, is something that I definitely don't want you to see yet. And so I have to check that, and I need to be careful about that. So maybe I just need to move that thing so it doesn't spoil the surprise for anybody. Carlos also chimed in. He says, this week he's been thinking about games that have short and long variants, like in A Feast for Odin. He says, I guess they're done because of feedback where some players feel the game overstays its welcome and others feel the length is not enough to feel they are satisfied with what they've accomplished. You haven't used short, long variants in your games. Do you think they are best avoided? What do you do when you have contradictory feedback where a significant amount of players think one thing and the other significant amount thinks the opposite? That's a great question, Carlos. Two questions there, really. I mean, there's the overarching question and the short, long question. My general stance about games, when I release a game is I avoid, if I can, and you'll probably find exceptions for this in our games, but I avoid variants. I prefer saying, this is what I think is the best way to play this game, play this way. So that way I kind of take the decision out of the hands of the players, and I use all the feedback that I've had and my own experiences as a player, gamer, as a designer to kind of decide for the players. Like, that's kind of your job as a designer, to decide what is the best way to play this game. Here's what I'm suggesting to you. Here's what we've tested. Here's what we know works really, really well. And I almost did it for Rolling Realms, though, because ro and I almost I'll let you know what I think about this, because with Rolling Realms, I have found that I really enjoy playing Rolling Realms round by round. Like, I enjoy just playing a single round. You know, it's 15 minutes. Play a round. If you're teaching, maybe it's 20 minutes, maybe even a little longer if you need to. But playing a round of Rolling Realms is very short and snappy, doesn't overstay its welcome, and nothing carries over from round to round other than your score in Rolling Realms. And so there's no real sense of progression from round to round. And in the one version of Rolling Realms, rather soon before we went to print, there were recommendations. You could say you could play a short game, one round, you could play a medium length game, two rounds, or you can play the full game, three rounds. And eventually we decided, okay, we'll just say that the full game of Rolling Realms is three rounds, just to make that an official thing. But I almost wish I had put in there that it is okay to play just a single round of Rolling Realms if you just want a little filler. I kind of wish I had said that, because that's how I found that I really enjoy the game now. Your other question is, what do you do when you have contradictory feedback where a significant amount of players think one thing and the other significant amount thinks the opposite? My general approach there is to take that feedback, get to the heart of what players are wanting and enjoying and what brings them the most joy, and find a solution that works for everybody. That isn't always possible, but I think all too often when you're getting this type of feedback, you're getting solution feedback. Players are saying, I want this or I want this. And it's not a playtester's job to tell you how to fix the game. It's their job to tell you why they're not having fun or why they are having fun and examples of what's going on. And you can find the solution for that as the designer. And so often when you look at it that way and you get playtesters, great playtesters who give you that type of feedback, you can find a solution that actually does work for most playtesters, in my opinion. If that truly isn't the case, if you truly have two different solutions that work for two very different groups of people, then maybe that is a circumstance to include a variant in the game. Yeah. Tim says, can the camera see through my closet door, my cabinet of secrets back there? It cannot, Tim, as far as I know. Some people are joining in and commenting, do I have a new camera? And yeah, this is a new webcam, a nicer webcam that I'm using today that's hopefully a little higher quality, a little better at autofocus, a little better at lighting, all those things that are important for live cast. This was one of my New Year's resolutions to improve the quality of my videos because a lot of content, way more content than I ever thought I'd create, is video content now. Tim says that he loves when games have modules. He says, we recently played Rome and the Night Cage, and they both have a version of the game to get you started, but have things you can add to make it harder in the core box. I think you did this with Tuscany, the original Tuscany. Yeah, you're right. The Tuscany expansion does have modules. Modules are an interesting thing. I find that when a game has a lot of modules, I don't end up using, like I end up maybe trying a few of them and then leaving the rest. And I've run into this here. I'll give an example of a game, of an expansion that I love, a game that I love, Glenmore 2. Glenmore 2 has all these different modules that you can use. And I found the more and more I play Glenmore 2 and I love Glenmore 2, I just want to use like the best one. And I don't really know what that is because there's so many different ones and so many different opinions about them. And I haven't even played through all of them yet. I kind of want the designer to determine what the best module is and let me play with it. And if they want to add variability, do what we did with Rolling Realms, where all the modules are just shuffled together and then you bring out a random array of modules, like build that into the variability of the game itself. But Tim, I totally hear what you're saying there and you like it. And I do like the idea of onboarding players into a game in a reasonable way. Like in Ark Nova, a game that I've recently enjoyed quite a bit, Ark Nova has a bunch of different player mats, and they have a player mat that they clearly say, if you are learning the game or teaching the game, use this player mat, or give new players this player mat. And then when you're ready to level up a little bit, use these different variable player mats that are a little more complex, a little more difficult. I really like that. So that's like kind of built into the core interface of the game, but it's very easy to start with the normal player mat, and then when you're ready, you can, it's essentially a module, it's a player mat modules, you can add these other player mats, or try a different player mat. So that's more of asymmetrical depth to a game after you've learned the basics of it. Christopher says that his approach to as a player to variants is to completely ignore them and just play the standard version. Yeah, that's typically what I do too, Christopher. He says, if I played a game so much that I wanted a variant, I'd make my own, as I would probably have an idea in mind for how to do it. He says, for Rolling Realms, if I want to play one round, I just will. I don't need to be told that it's possible by a rule book. It's silly. I hear you saying it's silly. I think sometimes, Christopher, people need a little bit of permission to play a certain way, because and this isn't all people. Obviously, you have your method of figuring that out. I have done that with games too, where I just play like this slightly different version of the game. It's just a kind of a hunch that I had with Rolling Realms, where I think sometimes people think they need to play three rounds to have the full experience of the game, where I found that I can get the full experience by just playing a single round. But you're right, people can just figure that out if they want. Like you don't need permission to do that. Sometimes it just feels good for the designer to say, this is one way that I enjoy playing. You can play it this way too. David says, did you bid on Asmodee? No, I did not bid. I don't have billions of dollars. He says, more seriously, how do you think the sale will affect the industry? So yeah, Asmodee, probably the biggest hobby game company in the world, was bought by, I think, it was bought by another company. I don't know much about this company that bought it. I don't think it'll affect the industry all that much. I think when there are buyouts like that, sometimes it means that internal processes change. Sometimes it means that there's a policy that the old company had or didn't have that changes based on the new company's policy. But I don't think it'll have much of an effect on the industry. I heard that Asmodee bought Miniature Market, which is a store in St. Louis here, a big online store that has a nice local store as well, Miniature Market. And I'm curious what that will do. I'm curious how that will impact things. I'm guessing that Asmodee just identified Miniature Market as a good online store, and they had enough money to buy it so that they could have a great outlet for selling their games online, and maybe have a good fulfillment center presence in the U.S., maybe. But I don't think that'll impact most consumers either. But I'm open to conjecture about this. I know some people think Asmodee is kind of the big evil company in the industry. I don't think that. I think they're just a bunch of people that make games, and I'm okay with a bunch of people making games. And they might have some policies that I disagree with, but I don't think they are evil by any means. But I'm open to your opinions. Feel free to share them in the comments here, especially if they're constructive or insightful. I'm sure there's plenty of people here who know things about Asmodee, these different buyouts, that I don't know. I stay a lot more focused on Stonemaier Games. David says, unfortunate news about Tapestry Digital. So there's actually good news about Tapestry Digital and some unfortunate news about Tapestry Digital. So the unfortunate news is that, let me start with the good news, actually. The good news is that Tapestry on Board Game Arena has fully launched today. It's going to be on their homepage for the next couple weeks. The beta has been available for a while, but the full version is now available on Board Game Arena. And if it does well on there, then Board Game Arena is going to add expansions for it, which I think will be wonderful, I think, for the Tapestry audience. And I'm hoping to get a lot of that data from Tapestry on Board Game Arena as we revisit some of the civilization adjustments in the near future. We're going to be looking at that, I believe, in February is when I've scheduled that. The unfortunate news is that the person, the wonderful person, Tim, who is working on Tapestry Digital, the full AI version of the game, has some personal things that came up that are and I always prioritize personal issues, families, everything comes before games and business. And so he had some things come up that he needs to focus on that he can no longer continue working on Tapestry Digital. Kind of the devastating side of that, in my opinion, is that Tim put his heart into this game for so long. He worked for a couple of years now on Tapestry Digital, I think 18 months, a little over 18 months. And so there's so much code that he created that it could just go to waste if no one wants to use that code. And so I am looking for a developer who knows Lua. It's L-U-A. I had never heard of it before, but I think it's either a program or a platform that's somehow tied to Unity. I'm looking for a developer to take over the code from Tim and make Tapestry Digital happen. So hopefully that'll be the case. I'm looking right now. If you know anyone, if you know a company that uses Lua, that knows Lua, let me know. I'd love to find a company to work on that. Fabricio says, have you played Brazil Imperial? It has many similarities to Scythe. I have not played Brazil Imperial, but I love Scythe, so I probably need to try that. Some games that I played recently were in the middle of our Adventures of Robin Hood campaign, which we started this past weekend, and I'm loving it. I love, we're talking about onboarding in games, I love the way that this game onboards you into the game. It has very simple mechanisms, but they're still really solid mechanisms, and they still lead to a lot of great, interesting decisions in the game, and just a lot of clever stuff. Like, to show you how much I love this game, I normally filmed like a 5-minute favorite mechanism video. This video was 10 minutes long, because I kept going on and on about the different design decisions made in The Adventures of Robin Hood. My video about that will go live this Friday. I also played Caper Europe, the new version of Caper, a two-player tug-of-war heist game, and really, really enjoyed that. I filmed a video about that as well. Oh, no, I haven't filmed my video about that as well. I filmed a video about my favorite two-player games, and that might have made that list. I made that video right after playing Caper Europe. I also played some more Ark Nova, and I played a Crave, a deck-building game about hipster vampires that I found surprisingly delightful and fun. I had a lot of fun with that. And also, after we played The Adventures of Robin Hood, we got in the mood to do more Robin Hood stuff, and so we watched the Disney classic animated version of Robin Hood right after that. Had fun watching that. Tim says, let's test this camera out by putting a card in front of it. Okay, here's a card from Rolling Realms. Let's see if it focuses. Yeah, pretty much automatic focus there, yeah? Yeah, that was pretty good. Good test, Tim. Michael says that he picked up Role Player Adventures based on my recommendation. The kids and I are loving it. So cool to have choices other than kill the bad guy. Oh, I totally agree, Michael. I'm sure you heard me ramble about that many, many times, but I love that. I love that so much that there are so many interesting choices beyond just like, okay, you've encountered someone who's different than you, go fight them now. Like so many other interesting decisions. And when you do choose to fight, there are consequences. There are big, important consequences. You're probably going to get something good, but something bad might happen in the long term. I don't want to accidentally say anything to spoil anything about the campaign, but I'm so glad you picked it up and that you're enjoying it. Kevin says, what is a game from another publisher that you have played, seen, and thought it would fit nicely in the Stonemaier mold? Kevin, yes, that is a question. Let me answer that question in full. I did a video a few years ago about games that we would have published. Stonemaier would publish. Let's see if I can find it in my channel right now. Okay, top 10 games by others that we would have published. This video is 2 years old now. Ooh, very dark lighting on this video. But the games that I mentioned in this video are Tsolkin, with the expansion to bring it up to 5 players, Mysterium, Orleone, Seven Wonders, Lords of Waterdeep with the expansion. Oh no, it plays 5 players out of the box. Architects of the West Kingdom, Quacks of Quedlinburg with the expansion for 5 players, Isle of Skye, Downforce, and Ra. Those are all games that I really love and that I, at least when they are brought up to 5 players, fit pretty much all the requirements for, or the guidelines, not requirements, the guidelines for a Stonemaier game. Tim says that Pendulum had advanced sides of the mats. Yeah, Tim, that's a great example. Similar to Ark Nova, Pendulum has a more basic side and then a more advanced side of the player mat that you can use when you're ready to level up a little bit in Pendulum. Chad says, I still haven't played all the Taverns of Tefenthal modules. Didn't stop me from ordering the expansion, though. Yeah, I'm glad you did. Different opinions on how people prefer modules. Another example for me is I love the game Fresco. Really love the game Fresco. Fresco comes with modules in the box itself, but because they were pitched as modules, for some reason I never wanted to bring them into the game. I just wanted to play the core game. And so I almost wish they had been built into the, like, for some reason there's a difference between that and what we're talking about with like Pendulum and Ark Nova, adding a little bit of asymmetry later. That to me is a jump that I can get on board with, where I can start simple and then add asymmetry later. But for the modules, it kind of feels like the designer was a little wishy-washy about what they really wanted in the game or not. And I just want them to pick for me. I just want them to pick like the best way to play. And maybe later they could say, hey, if you really don't enjoy this part, you can remove it. Or if you don't enjoy this thing, you could add this other thing. I guess that's still the module system. But yeah, I don't know. I probably need to formulate my thoughts a little bit more about this module system. Ash says, with the announcement of the Wingspan Digital European expansion, do we know when this might be available? I know the same thing you know, that whatever Monster Couch has announced so far. I think they said early spring, maybe? I got the same announcement you did. They were completely independent of us. And Ash says, are there any updates on the big box solution? So the nesting box for Wingspan, there's a big page about this on our website. It is just, we are literally just waiting for the next expansion to be complete. We're going to make them at the same time. So as soon as that's complete, we'll start moving ahead with the box. And I'm anticipating that both will be ready for release in late Q3, early Q4 2022. That's my current guess. But the box itself is complete. Brett is chiming in from the UK. Hi, Brett. Thanks for dropping by. Tim says, Geekway to the West registration opens on Friday. Yes, I am excited about that. So Geekway to the West is my favorite convention. It's one of these conventions where you just come and play games for a couple days. And they are very, with the pandemic in particular, they are very safe. They're very welcoming and very inclusive and very safe during the pandemic. Like, we attended their delayed version of the convention in the fall, and everyone did a great job of wearing masks and full vaccination convention. Obviously, that's a little scarier right now with Omicron, but this convention is in May, and so hopefully we will have Omicron vaccinations by then, and hopefully not another new wave at that point. I will be signing up for Geekway this Friday to attend in May for sure. Chris says, any other exciting Rolling Realm promos that I'm working on? Definitely, Chris, yeah. We have almost a couple dozen now in the works right now. And I am very excited about them. I think you're probably looking at a teaser. And you might be able to see some of the things that I've commented on Board Game Geek and sometimes the Facebook group to get some hints, but I'm not going to spoil anything outright. You'll know when we release those expansions or those promos what we're actually making. Today, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, I was so excited about the camera, I forgot to mention that today is my adoption day, a very special day for me. I was adopted when I was 3 days old, just a little baby, and so, yeah, today is, January 12th is just a really special day for me, because it's a day where my biological mother, well, she realized before then, but she basically said, you know, I am not ready to raise a child, I want to find a family to do that, which to me was a very loving, selfless gesture of her. And that my parents said, we want a baby, we want to bring this baby into our lives. So it's just, it's a day that I treasure, that means a lot to me, and I wanted to share that with you, because you all mean a lot to me as well. And many of you might have adoptions in your lives too. You might be adopted, you might have adopted a child, you might have adopted a pet, like I did with Biddy and Walter. And so I just wanted to celebrate all adoptions today in any form. Today, actually tomorrow is also Euphoria's 8th anniversary. So Euphoria's retail release was the 13th of January in 2014. And so if you're in the mood to get some Euphoria to the table to celebrate that anniversary, feel free to do so tomorrow or Friday or over the weekend. That'd be a great time to do so. I'll be posting about that in the Euphoria Facebook group as well. I have a few other little topics, but let me catch up on questions. Lots of great comments and discussion today that I'll jump around with. Scott says, have I played any new games recently? He just played Lost Ruins of Arnak, Furnace, and Dune Imperium. Some great games there. Some new games that I played. So I mentioned the Adventures of Robin Hood and Caper Europe, and played some more Ark Nova that's still fairly new to me, and Crave, a new-to-me game that came out a few years ago, a deck-building game. I also filmed my video about my top 10 games of 2021 and posted that on Sunday. And I have that loaded up over here. It jumped around from a bunch of different categories, like favorite expansions, sequels, games that were new to me that were released before 2021, and go into the top 10. I don't know if I want to spoil it here. Do you all want me to read off the? I can read off the top 10 list if you want, or you can go watch the video. I don't know what's more fun for you. I'm live right now though, so if you want me to just read off my top 10 list for 2021 real quick, let me know in the comments, and I'm happy to do that. Justin is here. He says he got to play board games with his cousin from Turkey through Board Game Arena, which was a ton of fun. That's awesome. Yeah, one of the wonderful things about Board Game Arena. What are some of your favorite games to show people who are new to board gaming? As always, Justin, I have a list for this as well, but let me just, for now, look over at my shelf and say some games. So some of the games that I have in like my column of Gateway or Gateway Plus games are The Whatnot Cabinet, Sagrada, Dice Miner, Canvas, Downforce, Scotland Yard, I think, even though it's an older game, I still think it works really well as an introduction, and some cooperative games. I think The Mind is a really great game for introducing new gamers. Mysterium, I think, is a great game for that. And even The Crew. The Crew is a little bit of a twist, but I think it can work well. And Just One. I love Just One for that, too. Lots of great gateway games these days. Looks like Facebook just scrolled past a few questions. So if I missed a question right after that, let me know. Looks like I'm about 9 minutes behind. Parse says, have I seen the official story mode from CGE for Arnak? And I have not seen that one yet. Brett says that he knows Lua. Oh, that's awesome, Lua. Brett. Brett, email me if you're interested at jamie@stillmeyergames.com. That's jamey@stillmeyergames.com. And we'll talk about that. Love to talk about that. That's exciting. David says he played PAX Premier. Have I played any of the PAX series? I have not, no, but I need to play. I've heard that I should play PAX Premier 2nd Edition and give that a try. George also has, George sounds like he knows what Lua is. Do you also know Lua, George, or do you just know what it is? But thank you for that explanation. He says it's a lightweight, high-level, multi-paradigm programming language designed primarily for embedded use in applications. Simon says he thinks the microphone volume is way too loud since it's distorting your voice, which is the shame in a new setup. But the microphone actually has not changed at all. It's the same microphone as always. I can turn it down, but I think well, let me know in the comments. Do you all think the volume is too loud? If it is, I can definitely turn down the gain on the microphone here. But I kind of have it set at a setting that I think works pretty well for YouTube, and so I don't want to mess with that. If it's just you, Simon, the voice distortion is a problem too. So let me know. Maybe I'm too close to it. I'll move it away a little bit in case that helps. Let me know in the comments below. I definitely want this setup to work for you, and I want it to be consistent. So yeah, let me know in the comments below what you're thinking about the microphone volume. Whether you're watching this right now or later on YouTube, that would be helpful too. Tim says that he enjoyed my top 10 list, a lot in common with what he enjoyed in 2021 as well, and he ordered one of the ones that he didn't have after watching the video. Which one did you order, Tim? Par is asking if anyone has played the Alchemist expansion for Quacks of Quedlinburg. I don't think I have. I think I just played the one expansion, but maybe I played both. I don't even know at this point. I've definitely played the Herb Witches. Justin says, I'm presenting to the company I work for about board gaming in 2 weeks. Shoot. Justin, can you repeat that question? Facebook scrolled just as I was reading it. I'm going to scroll down a little bit so I don't miss anything else. Eduardo says, I just picked up Spirit Island recently and I'm loving it so far. With how few anti-colonialism themed games there are, is this a theme Stonemaier Games is looking into? I wouldn't say we're definitely not looking into making colonialist games, but specifically anti-colonialist games, that's very specific to Spirit Island. So I don't think no, that is not a theme that we're like specifically looking into. Although there are a few games of ours, either in the works and existing, Tapster included, that are anti-colonialist. They just aren't. That isn't the overarching theme. Spirit Island already does that. Clint says, "Will Stonemaier Games make a deck-building game?" We'll find out. I might do my tw a twist on a deck-building game, but currently, I have not figured out how to design a deck building game. So currently, the way that you traditionally think about it with cards cycling through a deck, I have not figured out how to do that as a designer. Jerris says, question about Japan. Very recently, I started to communicate with Japanese customers and I saw that they append san to my first name, like I did for you. My assumption is that it's a sign of respect. It means Mr., essentially. It's Mr. Jamie. Do they expect me to do the same? Is it impolite not to do so? It can really go either way. If you want to do it completely correctly, you would use their last name, like Mr. Stegmeier is how you would do it. So Stegmeier-san. I don't think Japanese expect English speakers to do that, but I'm happy to be corrected there. It's a great question. I don't think I've ever, studied Japanese for many years, and I definitely, well, I'm trying to remember if I actually did it when I was referring to my Japanese friends by their first name. And I don't think I did because it is essentially Mr. or Mrs. It's that equivalent. But it's been a long time. I think that's a great question. If anyone has studied Japanese more recently than me, feel free to answer that in the comments here and I'll say it out loud. Oh, Chad says, what's the chocolate of the day? Mine is, or Chad's is Ghirardelli dark chocolate mint squares. What is my chocolate of the day? I have a lot of chocolate and peanuts and or peanut butter, a few of them from Trader Joe's. So that'll probably be one of them today. Also, actually, someone just gave me some fancy Kansas City chocolate with caramel whiskey on the inside. So it's milk chocolate with caramel whiskey on the inside. So that will be one of my chocolates of the day as well. Leia recommends The Crew as a gateway game, and Chris also says the mind and the crew are common plays in his house. And Tim says he's excited to introduce Red Rising to more people later this month. So yeah, Tim is hosting a small event at a bookstore called Your Brother's Bookstore in, is it Evansville, Tim? Correct me, let me know the town that Your Brother's Bookstore is in so I can mention that out loud. David says that moving the microphone away worked a little bit. Is that still, so I moved the microphone a little bit away from me. It's about I don't know, about a foot away from me now. Let me know if that is working better. It sounds like it was way better. So this is me being too close to it. This is me being at a normal distance from it. So I can definitely do that in the future. I'm very sorry about that. Paul says that he finally got Viticulture for Christmas and it's a firm favorite already. He says, any tips for my wife as I beat her each time we've played it so far? Any tips for viticulture? I would say stay flexible. Viticulture is a game that is not designed for you to completely plan ahead what strategy you want to pursue throughout the game because you are getting random card draws about wine orders and visitors and vine cards. So stay flexible. Follow part of the path that those cards lead you down. Be open to that and being open to being agile as you play. And whenever you can, grab bonuses. Although in a two-player game, if you're playing two-player, there aren't bonuses on the action spaces on the board. You'll need the Tuscany board to do that. Anne says, please make a neoprene playmat for viticulture. Interesting. I don't think I've gotten that request many times, Anne. Why are you looking for a neoprene playmat for viticulture? One of the reasons that I've stayed away from that is that the playmat for viticulture has pretty tiny text on it, and that text doesn't show up as well on a neoprene mat. But I guess I can see what you're saying, that maybe things will be easier to pick up when you have a playmat. I feel like maybe a long time ago I did a poll about whether or not people wanted playmats for viticulture, and the interest wasn't nearly big enough for us to do it. But maybe we should reconsider that. People say that, are confirming that it sounds like the moving the mic away has helped, so I'm glad to hear that. Justin, if you're still there, feel free to repeat your question. I'm still scrolling down to find it, so I'll see if I can find it. Tim says that he got Sonora, the Flick and Write. Yeah, so Sonora is a Flick and Write game that made my top 10 list for 2021. And he says, we played Rolling Realms about 40 times now, and the mini games you mentioned in Sonora sounded like fun. Yeah, absolutely. You said that perfectly well, though, Tim. Sonora has some really cool mini games. Here we go, Justin's comment. Justin says he's presented to the company he works for about board gaming in 2 weeks, and he wanted to hear if you had any suggestions for this presentation. It's going to be about showing what the hobby is all about and maybe playing a game. Justin, I would say the biggest thing that maybe mentioned is to use inclusive language in talking to people about board games. I think it's all too easy to fall into terms and acronyms that it feels like we all know in the industry. I do this same thing. I make this mistake myself, but especially if you're presenting to people who don't know modern games all that well, I would just highly recommend using as much inclusive language as possible so that they don't feel like they're catching up on what that acronym meant or this game that you feel like everyone knows, but they've never heard of it, that type of thing. That would be my overarching recommendation here. But if anyone else has any tips for Justin about introducing the modern board game hobby to people who aren't familiar with it, feel free to mention it in the comments below. Tim says, with friends, would you use chan or kun? Kun is, so we're talking about Japanese things that you append to Japanese names. Kun is typically what you might talk to, like a boy talking to another boy, or I think a girl also talking to a boy. And Chan is talking to like a really young kid. You might use Chan to do that. And I do remember using that quite a bit. So it's just I'm thinking of the first names of my Japanese friends. I can't remember. Like I had a friend named Yoshi. I'm trying to remember if I called him Yoshi or if I said Yoshi-san. I don't think I said Yoshi. I think I just called him Yoshi. But if I called him by his last name, I would have put San on the end of it. Tim confirmed that the event for Red Rising will be in Evansville, Indiana, at your brother's bookstore. Quinn says, what mechanisms do you think don't go together, I think is what you're saying, don't go together, but you want to see if you can make it work or turn it on its head? I've tried to work on a deck-building, trick-taking game. Well, that's interesting. I don't know if I have an answer off the top of my head, Quince, but I love that idea of combining two different mechanisms that typically aren't combined together and making them do something cool. One that I love in general is I cut you choose, and or I price you choose. But there are already some great I cut you choose and I price you choose games out there that work at different player counts and then combine different things into them. So I did recently play a game called Floating World, and it combined deck building with I cut you choose, which I thought was really interesting. Very different combo there. Chad says that his store is also doing a Red Rising event. That's awesome. He says it's this Saturday as part of our Saturday series of board games. Well, Chad, share a little bit more about that. What is your store and where is it located so people can know about that? Let's see. Okay, Anne says that she plays viticulture so much that they're worried they're gonna just worried that she'll wear out the board. That's awesome. I love that you're playing viticulture that much, Anne. We're always happy to replace parts. If parts of our games get lost or worn down or eaten by pets and dogs, pets and dogs and cats, we're happy to replace them so that you have fresh versions of those components as you play. We want you to play our games so much that they wear out, and we try to make our components durable enough that they don't wear out. But we're here to help if they do. George says, so I love role-play adventures that much. I do. I really, really do love role-play adventures. Jake says, I saw your video from this weekend. Have I tried Hadrian's Wall? Yes, I did play Hadrian's Wall in 2021, and I did enjoy it. It didn't make my top 10 list, but I did enjoy playing the game. Scott says, am I trying any different mechanisms for any future projects? Always, Scott. You're always trying to different mechanisms. Yeah, I'm trying not to get caught up in like the mechanisms that I've defaulted to at some points in the past. I'm always trying to try new mechanisms. But yeah, definitely, absolutely. David says, what difficulty did I play for Sleeping Gods, and how did I find that difficulty overall? I think we played whatever the standard version is, probably normal. We played, I think that was the way that we played. Definitely, we didn't play brutal. I think we just played the normal mode, and it was fine. It was good. I don't think we died completely ever that I can recall. Maybe we did. I mean, we definitely came close a few times, but I don't think we did. Yeah. Sirkin says, can we expect a brand new Stonemaier game this year? We have two games in the works for release this year. Two games and two expansions. I am not sure yet if the second one will make it on time, but it's currently on track to do so. Yeah. Chad says that the story he was referring to is Coal Street Game Vault, and it's in Enumclaw, Washington. He says this Saturday series is an ongoing point series with prize payouts at the end of the year for the top points earners. Well, that sounds fun. Coal Street Game Vault. And the other store I was talking about today is Your Brother's Bookstore in Evansville, Indiana. He says that Wingspan and Scythe have been selling well at the bookstore, and he says that Charterstone and My Little Scythe are also in stock, so they've gotten more games from us. That's awesome. I love to hear the combinations of bookstores and game stores. I think is a great combination. Anne has a tip for Paul. He asked for tips for his wife. She says, get your workers fast and find a way to make your visitor cards help you get points or reduce building costs has helped me when I win. We also remove the champagne fill cards when it's just the two of us. Interesting. I had never heard about that variant for viticulture. Kevin says that his Rolling Realms Realm promo just shipped. That's great. And Chad says that one of Dusty, who runs the mill, posted how his dog broke one of his lights. Yeah, his one of his dogs got the zoomies and broke one of his lights. And this is one of the reasons I love Dusty because he didn't care about the light. He cared about the dog, which is great. That like the dog got scared because Dusty didn't want the dog trampling on the glass and hurting herself. And he felt bad because the dog then thought that she was in trouble. Just a sweet story. I think everything is okay now. Chad says, what's the most expensive thing that one of my cats has broken? What have they broken? He's a big boy, but he doesn't often break things. One time I did leave my Kindle, my Amazon, and my old Kindle, recharge. It was recharging, and it was recharging face up. And I think one of the cats must have stepped on it and slipped, and they scratched it. It was still usable. I still used it for years after that, but from then on, whenever I recharge my Kindle, I recharge it face down so they don't scratch it. Mark says, am I late? Well, kind of, Mark, but you can chime in at any time. Yeah, I started this live cast around 40 minutes ago, and you missed all the things that I've talked about in the last 40 minutes. But you can go back and watch them as you wish. Some topics that I haven't covered yet today, we watched Encanto. A movie on Disney Plus, a wonderful, charming musical, and the songs are just so catchy. I listened to part of the soundtrack while I was working out today. I highly recommend Encanto and or the soundtrack of the movie. Things that I've been working on some of our games, a couple different things. We're working on our quarterly reprint, so we reprint games on a quarterly basis now, so we can batch them all together into big batches. And we're working on kind of the quantities for that right now, getting ready for a quarterly reprint. I'm also working on a prototype that I should get to the table today or tomorrow. I mentioned that Tapestry is now on Board Game Arena. That's not really work that I'm doing, but I wanted to mention that. Last week, I paid our monthly designer royalties. So we pay designers on a monthly basis here at Stonemaier Games. So I did pay those out last week. And we send copies of games to reviewers, or we offer games to reviewers on a monthly basis. And so any reviewers that are active on our list, I sent that list out on Monday of this week. So coordinating those little things just to get more review copies out there so people can share their thoughts about our games. You have more informed opinions to decide whether or not you want to buy our games. So I think that's helpful both ways. And one thing that we've been talking about a lot internally recently is how can we better let people know that Stonemaier Games exists if they don't already know that, especially gamers, people who already know that they like to play games but haven't tried a Stonemaier game. How can we reach out to them? How can we encourage that to happen? So far, like the biggest way we do that is through game reviewers, but I've seen a slight slowdown in people who are actually subscribing to our e-newsletter, people who want to know Stonemaier Games news and information on an ongoing basis. And so we've been talking about that, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have any thoughts about how we can bring more people into the Stonemaier Games family who haven't already heard of us or haven't already decided to engage with us on an ongoing basis, I'd love your thoughts on how to do that. I know that's a big part of my job, but you are very intelligent people too. So if you have any thoughts about that, I'm happy to learn from you. Let's see. Scott says that he's looking forward to receiving some things from Canada. Yes. So the latest news from Hubtrotter is that they are caught up on Tapestry expansion pre-orders, and I think they're then catching up this week on some things that they were got behind on over the holidays. But they're getting there. They're getting close, and I appreciate your patience, Scott, and anyone else in Canada who's waiting for those orders. David says, I just got the Wingspan neoprene mats and love them, but can't get them to lay flat after having been rolled up. He tried a few things, but they're still curled. David, yeah, I would suggest the things that you've probably already tried, which are, putting heavy things on them for extended periods of time, curling them the other way. I think mostly they just need to lay out flat for a long time, and maybe with things on top of them to help that. In the end, they might still curl up at the edges a little bit. That might not ever go away. But hopefully they're still just as useful as they are, even if they don't lay completely flat. George says, basically, Tapestry on Board Game Arena became an official release from alpha beta version. Maybe. I mean, basically, I just got the news that the beta had succeeded, and they are now in the full release of Tapestry on Board Game Arena. That's what I was told. Kevin says, any of the music from Encanto stuck in my head forever. Probably. Yeah, the three songs that I keep, or the four songs that I keep playing are Waiting for a Miracle, Surface Pressure, I think. We Don't Talk About Bruno, and the two Caterpillars, I think is the other song, the English version of it. Both versions are beautiful, but I like the English version because I can understand the words. Everyone seems to know We Don't Talk About Bruno. Yes, Zhao says dos oruguitas, or oruguitas. Is that right? Clint says, is it possible to release Tapestry Technology Masterpiece Cards Pack in the future? Like an expansion? Is that what you're asking for? Yeah, clarify that question. Are you asking for an expansion with new Tapestry Technology Masterpiece cards? Is that what you're asking for, Clint? So far, we've released two expansions. So that's all I've kind of said about Tapestry so far, the future of Tapestry. Tim says that he's been waiting patiently for a new realm. The Rolling Realms realm. And he says that once he gets the metal mechs, he's going to play the Rise of Fenris. He says, when will Stonemaier have those promos available? Those promos. Which promos are you talking about there, Tim? I'm seeing Metal Mechs, Rise of Fenris. I think we have those. We have the new promo realms. So all the realms that we've sold and that we've announced are currently available. So maybe I'm missing what you're asking there, Tim. Jan says, what's your Wingspan multiplayer all-time high score? I don't know if I've actually, no, I probably have crossed 100 with Oceania. I don't know it offhand, but I guess at best it would be barely over 100. Powell says, how do you know the game you're working on is going to be a hit? Do you have any tells that you'd be willing to share? Oh, it's really hard to tell. I mean, because I get it, we only publish games that I get really excited about that I love and that I think have the potential to be a hit. But I mean, one of the easiest early tells is if reviewers really, really like it. And you don't know that until you've after you've already made the game, unless you're using Kickstarter. So that is hard to tell. It also helps when playtesters are really, really excited about it. That's helpful as well, especially since playtesters typically don't use the version of the game that people get. Like, they don't have the full art version. They don't have the full components at all. And so if they're really excited about a prototype, that's a great sign that they're also going to be really excited when you have the final art and the final components. That's probably the biggest tell. Like, I always ask playtesters to rate the game from 1 to 10. And that's one of the things that I know if a game is doing well and is getting closer and closer to being publishable. But also if they're just ecstatic about it, then I have a good inclination that it might have the potential of being a hit. Yeah, those are a few things. David says that currently he has the neoprene mat stashed under his Gloomhaven box. Hopefully that'll do the trick. Yeah, I agree. Chris says, does anyone have any recommendations for a large neoprene mat? I like the company Quiver. Quiver gaming accessories. I think it's something like Quiver game accessories. The word Quiver, if you search for that, I think you might find some good play mats. Oh, and we also work with a company. What's the other company that we work with? Oh, shoot, I'm going to blank on it now. But the company that makes the Scythe neoprene play mats. It's not Quiver. It's a different company that I'm totally blanking on. I'll pull it up and find it right now. Because they are a great company to work with. I think they make great playing mats. Okay, where can I find this? It is under merchandise, I think. Do I not have it here? No, I totally don't have it here. All right, I will have to look this up. I am totally blanking on the company that makes our wonderful play mats for Scythe. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just blanking on it. Blake says, as a new fan of your games and someone who is addicted to Scythe, what could make you reconsider making more content for it or possibly making a similar game in the same universe? Blake, we are definitely done with the Scythe story and done making Scythe stuff. Like, I think it's important sometimes for things to have a hard stop. Like, if you have a TV show that you love, sometimes it's best for that TV show to end at the right time rather than continuing on. Until it's overstayed its welcome. And Scythe, we continue to support Scythe. There's plenty of stuff that you can get for Scythe and to enjoy Scythe. So there's really nothing you can say to convince me to make more Scythe stuff. Doesn't mean that I don't love the game. It means that I love the game enough to stop at a certain point. As for making another game in the 20 plus universe, I am very interested in that. You don't need to convince me at all of that because I am already very interested in doing that. Scott says, Scott has a suggestion for the neoprene mats. Would gently steaming them with an iron damage them, like with a towel on first? Really gently, maybe? But yeah, definitely go into that very gently. Clint says, could we make just more cards for Tapestry? I will talk about the future of Tapestry when we're ready to talk about that, Clint. But I do appreciate your interest in more content for Tapestry and the kind of the more stuff approach. I can definitely appreciate that. Yeah. Xavier says, how long does it generally take for games to get to Board Game Arena? So the way it works is that we reach out to Board Game Arena, we say, hey, we have a game that's eligible to be, like, it's not wrapped up in another digital contract. We'd love for this to be on Board Game Arena. Are you open to making it? And then Board Game Arena finds a developer who is willing to spend their time to put it on the platform. What did we find? For Viticulture, they worked very fast. It only took like 6 months for them to get that on Board Game Arena. Tapestry took 18 months for them to get it on there. Yeah, I think that's about right. Maybe even a little bit more. I think it varies vastly depending on the person who's working on it. And he also says, do I have any Tapestry gameplay tips? Get that income going early. I think early income can really help while pairing it with the different cards and civ mats that you that, or civ mat that you have. Also, don't try to do every track. I would say focus on maybe one or two tracks and getting really far on those tracks so you get the really powerful benefits at the end. Patrick says that he saw that I'm looking forward to playing Anno 1800. I am, yeah. I haven't played that yet. That's one of the games that I wanted to play in 2021 that didn't get the chance to play, and I'm looking forward to playing that hopefully very soon. Tim says, promos for Scythe. Okay, thanks, Tim, for clarifying that. Yes, so we are working on... So, Tim, it's going to be a while, later than I thought, but we are working on a consolidated pack of all the promo cards for Scythe and just having them all in one pack that we will sell on our web store. And I think that'll be in stock in, like, late spring. But it'll be a little while, Tim, longer than I thought, because I don't think they have left China yet. I thought they already had, but I checked and they haven't yet. Xavier says, follow-up question, after one of your games is released, do I still enjoy playing it? I do. I do very much enjoy taking a break from a game after it goes into print. I like to kind of hand it off and say, okay, it's ready. I've done everything I can to make this game as good as possible, in my opinion, and I need to take a break from it. But then when I get the finished version, I am very excited to play it, pending that there are people who are excited to play it with me. That's an important part of it. Brist is joining us from Texas. Glad to have you today. Kim has a comment here that shows the Board Game Tables. Board Game Tables does make player mats as well. Brist says, am I planning on attending any game convention soon? I mentioned earlier in the live cast that, yeah, I'm going to sign up to attend Geekway to the West here in St. Louis this Friday. That's when they'll applications, signups, people who can, you can sign up for Geekway to the West, which is in May, starting this Friday. So I'm really excited to attend that convention. We're at the end of the comments here, which actually times well with the end of the hour. Let's see if there's anything else. If you want, maybe I'll end this live cast. I'll read off my top 10 games of 2021. So if you want to stop listening and just watch the full video where I talk about them, you can go do that. That video is on my YouTube channel. But I'll end today by listing off those top 10 games. Chad says, does Megan play playtest games with you? Megan plays a lot of games with me. She playtests them sometimes. I don't want to put that obligation on her because playtesting isn't always fun. It's often not all that fun until the game reaches a certain tipping point. But I wouldn't want to present a game to Megan that I don't think is already fun. But if it is, then I'm open to doing that, and she is open to doing that on occasion. So yeah, I'll end today. I think I've covered everything that I wanted to talk about today. And thank you for all these wonderful questions, these thoughts, and very thought-provoking live cast today. I will end by reading off my top 10 list of games from 2021 that I played in 2021. And if you want to hear my full discussion about that, you can check out my YouTube video that I posted this past Sunday on them. So yeah, I'll end there. So at number 10. So I did include a few Stillmire games, which I usually don't do. But I wanted to do it, and I think I will do this in the future for these big top 10 lists, at least for the yearly ones, because I only publish games that I really, really love, and to ignore them on a top 10 list, I don't think is all that accurate. I want to at least be somewhat accurate for these lists. So, number 10 is Red Rising and Rolling Realms. I just put them in the number 10 spots. They could be on the list because I love them. They probably would be higher if they were by a different publisher, and I could be less biased, but Red Rising and Rolling Realms at number 10. And number 9, The Whatnot Cabinet by Pencil First Games. And number 8, we talked about this on the live cast earlier, Sonora, a flick and write game with a lot of interesting mini games. That's Sonora at number 8. Number 7, Cascadia, fantastic abstract game with beautiful art. Cascadia, great game. And number 6, Canvas, the game that with the clear cards and sleeves where you're creating paintings, combining these cards into sleeves and doing kind of a set collection thing there. Canvas at number 6. Cubitos, which is a push-your-luck racing game with a dice building element to it. Dice Miner at number 4. So the number 4 kind of are a big jump over the other games on the list. I want to mention that. I mentioned that in the other video too. Dice Miner, I love Dice Miner as kind of a Gateway Plus game with this custom dice drafting. Some dice rolling has some luck in it, but I'm okay with it. I have fun with luck. I have fun with rolling dice. So Dice Miner number 4. Number 3, I have Sleeping Gods, the cooperative campaign open world game. Just does open world in such a beautiful, brilliant way. Number 2 is Ark Nova, one of the heaviest games that I've loved in a long time. I absolutely love Ark Nova. I understand that that's not available to a lot of people yet, but I think enough people have access to it already that I justified it for 2021. And number one, another game that we discussed today, Role Player Adventures. I absolutely loved our 11-game campaign of Role Player Adventures, had a blast with it, and yeah, just absolutely loved it in so many ways. In fact, I have a video, I loved it so much that I do a deep dive game design discussion about Role Player Adventures in a video that'll come out in a few weeks. I've already filmed it, but it won't come out for another few weeks. It's like 40 minutes of me talking about Role Player Adventure, which I don't think I've ever done for any game before. That is my top 10 list for 2021. Feel free to let me know in the comments below, or maybe do it on YouTube, because I'm gonna close off this video, go over to YouTube when I post the video and post your games, or better yet, go to the video where I talk about the top 10 games and talk about your favorite games of 2021 there. That's my list. I hope you all have a great day. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you next Wednesday. Take care. Bye.